I'd like to call this regularly scheduled planning commission meeting of February 6, 2020 at 5:30 PM to order. I'll look to David to call roll.
Commissioner Noland.
Present.
Commissioner Wong.
Here.
Chair Pro Tem Pearson.
Present.
Vice Chair Smith.
Here.
Chair Nerschel.
And I'm here.
The record will show that we have a quorum.
And I'll go ahead and look to Commissioner Noland to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
If we can all stand, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for that. And I'll look to staff to see if we have any introductions this evening.
No introductions, Chair.
And any additions or deletions to the agenda?
No, sir.
And David, do we have any general public comments? Looks like we do have one. Jean, did you want to come forward? Thank you.
Hello, commissioners. I'm Jean Barron. I'm an Irvine resident. I live in the Irvine Business Complex. I work in the Irvine Business Complex, and I do quite a bit of walking there. My claim to fame is I can walk from my house to the airport and not have to deal with Ubers or anything. So I tell you that because I spend quite a bit of time there, and I have four or five comments that I want to share pertaining to the IBC, but nothing that's on the agenda. And I have a couple pictures. They're not great. I took them with my car phone while I was driving. But I wanted to show this just to make my point. These are some of the new apartment or condo units that are coming up. And there's one thing, you know it best, that's constant is change. We've got new buildings popping up everywhere. And these are wonderful because the price point is $400, the entry point. So I love it that they're affordable. I just wanted to share it, and maybe it's me, but there's another picture, too, that you can see. The landscaping isn't what we normally have in terms of mature landscaping. Normally, we put those palm trees in right after the buildings are put up and some other type of hedges and everything to camouflage fire doors, utility closets, you know, whatever it is. So I just wanted to share it. It is a unique style. It's a wonderful price point. But I am wondering, in comparison to a lot of the other units on Jamboree, even new units, because I know plant material takes time to grow, but a lot of the newer apartments have more mature landscaping right away. And it just softens it, especially here because it's at the 405. So I think, you know, maybe we would like that. And I don't know if this commission can oversee color palettes or if I'm getting into the weeds on that. But I did want to share that. In addition, as you know, you've approved the 285 remaining units for this complex. So I'm hoping that, and high visibility, right? Jamboree and Michelson, so it's high visibility. So I hope they're maybe nicer looking and have some mature landscape. So it's more of just an observation. Okay, my other two comments. Before I get into that, I did want to say that I think the staff's doing a great job, and I'm excited about the trails feasibility study. And in terms of accessory retail, I think that is wonderful, not because it just gives us retail, but it gives us an opportunity for meeting spots. I have accessory retail. I'm in one of three buildings, 100 units in each building. The best thing is to pull out of that parking garage and see people outside under umbrellas, on lounge chairs, talking to their neighbors, having coffee, doing social media. So any opportunity that we get to build more meeting spots, they don't have to be big, but just having them there, I'm all for it. My last two comments is they're probably like a wish list. The sign program, wall signs on high-rise buildings. Again, this is for the IBC. We're building up, we're building more buildings. We've got the Bank Hotel, the Elements apartment buildings, and many more. And I just would like to see if the Planning Commission could review for letter size, height, aesthetics, because I do think a lot of folks are going to want to advertise on their buildings, and we just want it to look the Irvine way, very nice. And the last thing, wayfinding signs. Many of us in Irvine, we like those low signs, the brown signs, when we're driving so we know what streets are coming up. And I think the IBC would be a great place for that. We've got more residential units coming, more hotels. People going to hotels don't know the area. So if we maybe could think of a comprehensive sign program just for the IBC. And my last comment, I remember, I think it was at the time Commissioner Quo, he spent a lot of time with an applicant on a proposal for Jamboree and campus, and he wanted some brick signage and some welcoming hardscape. And it's that kind of TLC that really makes the difference. And so I look forward to seeing some of that as well as we continue. Thank you.
Thank you for those comments. That'll take us to the commission business for tonight. And that'll bring us into our commission reorganization. So I'll look to staff to call for nominations.
Thank you, Chair Nerschel. I'll go ahead and now open the floor for nominations for the position of chair of the Planning Commission. Are there any nominations?
I'd like to nominate Chair or Vice Chair Smith to the position of chairperson.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other nominations? Hearing no other nominations, I'll entertain a motion to close the nomination period. Moved by Commissioner Pearson. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Commissioner Nerschel. So it was moved by Commissioner Pearson, seconded by Commissioner Nerschel to close the nomination and appoint Commissioner Smith to the position of chair. Please vote.
Motion passes 5-0.
Congratulations, Chair Smith.
Thank you very much. Thank you all very much, fellow commissioners. I appreciate your confidence in me. I'll do my best to fulfill that. We'll move to the selection of vice chairperson. Just for everyone's clarification, under reorganization, a person's name submitted for an office does not take a second. It automatically goes into consideration. So any nominations for vice chairperson?
Chair Smith, I would like to nominate Commissioner Pearson for this position.
Are there any other nominations? Motion for nominations to be closed. We'll move that.
I'll second.
With that, please vote on Commissioner Pearson being vice chair.
Commissioner Pearson, did yours? Motion passes 5-0.
Congratulations, Commissioner Pearson. Or condolences.
Thank you. I appreciate the confidence in our body here, and we'll do everything possible to assist the chairman. Oh.
With that, we'll move to the selection of the chair pro tem. Are there any nominations, please? Well, I will move the selection of Commissioner Wong as Chair Pro Tem. Any other nominations? With that, then, I'll move that nominations be closed. Is there a second?
Second that.
Hearing no objections then, please vote.
Commissioner Wong.
He's trying to make up his mind.
Abstain.
Actually, I think it might be Commissioner Smith's. Commissioner Smith, what? Try yours. Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you very much. That will then take us to public hearings. Would staff please introduce this item?
Thank you, Chair Smith. This is a conditional use permit modification and a new park plan for the 2055 Main Street residential project located at the northwest corner of Gillette Avenue and Main Street in the Irvine Business Complex. And Tiffany Lynn, Associate Planner, will provide the staff report on this item.
Thank you very much. I'll open the public hearing and we'll receive the staff report.
Thank you, Chair Smith, and good evening, members of the Planning Commission. I am Tiffany Lynn, an Associate Planner with the Community Development Department, and the item before you this evening is a conditional use permit modification and a park plan for a previously approved residential project at 2055 Main. The project site is located on the northwest corner of Main Street and Gillette in the Irvine Business Complex. The subject property can be seen marked with a blue symbol on this aerial photo. Surrounding residential development is shown in orange, and existing retail and surrounding uses within the vicinity are located in the green areas. To provide some context for the proposed modification, the Planning Commission reviewed and approved a conditional use permit, tentative map, and park plan in August of 2016 to allow for the development of the 178-unit residential project. More recently, in March of 2018, the Planning Commission granted an extension for both the original map and CUP, which allowed both approvals to remain valid through 2020 and 2022, respectively. The previously approved residential project consists of a five-story residential apartment building that wraps a six-level above-ground parking garage, featuring a contemporary architectural style with strong horizontal expression. The project has a density of 79.8 dwelling units per acre and includes a mix of studios and one- and two-bedroom floor plans, with 19 units reserved as affordable. Following the original approval, the current applicant acquired the property from the previous owner and is now working to pursue development on the site. As such, they have submitted updated applications to modify the underlying approval as well as to provide a new park plan for the site. The proposal before you today modifies the original conditional use permit to introduce a new project design as well as a change in the unit mix. The overall configuration of the site will remain the same. Due to the fact that the original park plan has since expired, the proposed park plan with minor changes will serve as a new park plan for the residential project. Changes included as part of the current park plan include the introduction of additional project amenities as well as a new parkland appraisal. The application before the Commission tonight does not propose changes to the density or overall configuration of the site associated with the approved conditional use permit, nor does it alter the allocation of units on site. Vehicular access will continue to remain consistent with the original approval as well. In terms of changes to the site plan, a few of the amenity areas are proposed to be relocated, such as the fitness room and leasing areas. The proposed project will continue to provide a mix of studios and one- and two-bedroom units. As part of the new ownership, the architectural design is proposed to be modified. Changes to the architecture introduce a modern design with rectangular shapes and linear elements. The new building elevations have strong lines with varied forms that protrude and recede to create shadow lines and visual interest. The elevations provide contrast through the use of different materials, and the elevations are divided into a series of small sections with changes in color, architectural features, and materials to reduce the visual massing of the building. The new design is consistent with the IBC vision plan through the provision of facade bricks, ground floor activation, and varied color and massing. Here's a rendering of the redesigned project viewed from Gillette. And here's another rendering that shows a project along Main Street where the main project entry is located. The two recreational areas associated with the original approval include a ground floor courtyard and a rooftop courtyard area. The recreational areas will be located within the same general area with the ground floor courtyard wrapped by residential units, as shown outlined in red, and the rooftop courtyard located atop the parking structure facing Main Street, as shown in the yellow. The Irvine Subdivision Ordinance sets park dedication rates at 5 acres per 1,000 residents to be distributed between community and neighborhood parks. When a project provides for on-site affordable units, the park dedication rates applied to those units can be produced, provided that certain criteria are met. The proposed project can meet the findings of the park dedication reduction section of the Irvine Municipal Code, which are listed within this slide. Furthermore, the Planning Commission previously approved the park plan for this project site, which had granted the reduction in park dedication. Based on the granting of the requested reduction in parkland dedication, the proposed project has a community park obligation of 0.5 acres and a neighborhood park obligation of 0.76 acres. For the 260 anticipated residents of the project site, the requirement for park dedication may be met through land dedication, park improvements, and/or in-lieu fees. Based on the project population, the project has a community park obligation of 0.5 acres. The project will meet this obligation through payment of an in-lieu fee, and the amount of that fee is calculated to be $2,050,000 based on the fair market appraisal. The neighborhood park obligation based on the proposed number of residents is 0.76 acres in total. The current project will meet this obligation through land dedication of 0.18 acres, 0.57 acres of park improvements, and payment of an in-lieu fee of $40,000. The proposed park plan, including the request for park dedication reduction, was presented before the Community Services Commission on December 4th of last year, and the Community Services Commission adopted the resolution for the project recommending Planning Commission approval. In summary, the proposed conditional use permit modification includes a request to modify exterior elevations as well as to change the unit mix, and the proposed park plan will serve as a new park plan for the site and introduces additional amenities. The project complies with the general plan, zoning ordinance, and IBC vision plan, and will continue to remain consistent with the original approval in terms of overall number of units, density, and configuration. The project will continue to provide the same number of on-site affordable units, and the project meets all park dedication requirements based on the park dedication reduction. With that, staff would like to recommend the Planning Commission adopt the attached resolutions approving the conditional use permit modification and park plan for 2055 Main. This concludes staff's presentation, and the applicant and I are available to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Looks like we have one request to speak on behalf of the applicant, Tim Strader.
Good evening, Chair Smith and members of the Planning Commission. I'm Tim Strader with Starpoint Ventures, consultant to Intercorp, the property owner. And as Tiffany mentioned, this project was previously approved in 2016 with a previous owner. They elected to sell the property rather than develop. So it's very common that when a new owner comes in, they want to put their own stamp on it. They want to update it as it relates to current tenant desires. It's been about 4 years since the original design. So tonight's modification, as Tiffany mentioned, is very minimal, relating only to changes in architecture, actually some improvements and additions to the on-site recreational amenities and park amenities. So the architect and landscape architect are here if you have any technical questions on the design, and we urge your approval tonight. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Strader's request was the only one that we had. Is there anyone else who would wish to address the commission on this issue before we move into discussion? Seeing no one then, commissioners, I'm looking over here at the screen so I can see who's kind of buzzed in. Commissioner Nolan, why don't you go ahead?
There we go. All right. I have a question for staff or the architect. Could you clarify for me what does ground floor activation mean when you say that you're incorporating that into the site? I just would like some clarification as to what that means, what that represents.
And please, when you come to the mic, introduce yourself for the record. Thank you.
Good evening, Tobin Semenk with AO. Good evening, commissioners. To answer that question regarding the activation, street level or ground level activation, generally any project that comes in that we want to, quote unquote, activate the street level, as you see along Main with the picture that's up. So one way to do that is to introduce a commercial feel or public look, which we are doing at the corner there, the activation of the fitness room, having moved it from the previous location to the very corner, and also giving it a different design, creates an activation at the street level, at the ground level, to accomplish that.
Okay, so really what that means is when I'm walking on the street and I see your project, there's actually activity and things more at the ground level that are of interest to the public
that
when you
correct.
Look at your project. Okay.
That
okay,
is thank correct.
You. Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
David, excuse me, is this screen going to be off tonight, the one that's on the dais?
Yeah, it's not working.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Commissioner Pearson.
Thank you, Chairman Smith. You know, I've reviewed this project. I like the architectural feel for it. I believe that the it is in line with what we're trying to achieve in the IBC. The element of activation, I had that same question, and it's appears to be a enhancement to entice people to look and become active at the project site. This is, to me, we've got a conditional use permit that has been approved that does not terminate until next year. We've got a map issue that needs to be in concert with that timing. The applicant has moved forward upon purchase and has enhanced the project from below or before, added additional amenities. You know, I have a question to staff as it relates to the approvals of the previous project. Have we accounted for these units in the IBC to this date?
Yes, we have.
Okay, so it is part of our overall planning of density in the IBC.
That's correct.
Okay. I'm excited that we have the opportunity. I like the, as Janine had mentioned, I like the landscaping. I wish it was full grown at this time, but I do understand it takes a while to get to it. Maybe the palm trees we can put in place, but I think it's an improvement to where we were. The additional amenities for recreation, I think, are important to the neighborhood, and I'll leave it at that at this time.
Thank you, Commissioner Pearson. Commissioner Wong, did you wish to weigh in?
Yes, thank you, Chair Smith. Like Commissioner Pearson, I like the new design. I really like the modern look, I guess. I know just earlier we had a resident from IBAC actually said something, we need to keep Irvine consistent as well. I do believe this fits the image of IBC. It's a beautiful use of color in the block scheme. So the architects, I believe it's Architects of Orange, did a great job. My question for Mr. Tim Strader, if I may. Just so we don't, the applicant doesn't have to come back before us just because the permit expired. When is this project scheduled to begin construction?
That's actually a better question for Alex Gill of Intercorp, who is the developer. Let me have him take that.
Okay, thank you.
And, sir, if you'd state your name for the record, please, since this is being recorded. Thank you. Okay.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Alex Gill. I'm project manager with Intercorp. I'm overseeing the project. And to answer your question, we hope to start construction in July of this year.
And how long is the time frame of construction?
Typically 24 months.
So we can expect this to be completed probably second half of 2022?
We're forecasting June 2022.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
That's it.
Commissioner Nerschel, did you wish to address this issue?
Sure, just briefly. I'll echo what Vice Chair Pearson expressed earlier. I think this is a great addition to the IBC. I feel that the ground floor activation, to borrow the very popular phrase tonight, is perfect for the IBC. I think that's what we need to make it a more interactive space. And so with that, I'll support this project.
Thank you, Commissioner Nerschel. I just have a quick question for staff. In the initial approval of this project under the previous owner, I'm assuming that there was a landscape plan, correct?
Correct.
With the change in the architecture of the building, has there been a significant change to the landscape plan?
No, there have not been. And in fact, in terms of the recreational areas, there's actually an increase in the amount of landscaping that's provided as part of this project proposal.
How about as far as the streetscape goes?
The streetscape, it's pretty consistent with the original approval. It provides for the same amount of landscaping.
Is there any, one of the speakers earlier has raised an issue about mature versus baby plants. Do we have a specification for the trees and the other landscaping on the public streets at this point? And can you let me know what that is? I just want to make sure we're not talking about 5-gallon trees and 5-gallon palm trees.
I don't know how clear it is, but there's the chart. The proposed landscape plan is on the screen behind you. If you start looking at the proposed plant palette, the tree sizes proposed are 36-inch box trees, it looks like. There's a few 48-inch box trees. That's the size root ball. So these are fairly large species.
That's great. I wanted to highlight that because I know that's not only a concern for our speaker, but a concern for me as well. I don't have any further questions myself. Anyone else in the commission that would like to address any other issues? If not, I'll close the public hearing and a motion would be in order. Commissioner Pearson?
Yes. I would like to move that the conditional use permit modification, a new park plan for 2055 Main Street residential project, as defined in the recommended action, resolution 20-3773 and resolution number 20-3774, move that for approval.
Motion has been made by Vice Chair Pearson. Is there a second?
I will second that.
That's seconded by Chair Pro Tem Wong. Is there any discussion on the motion? If not, please vote.
Commissioner Pearson, thank you. Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you, staff, for your work on this. That moves us to item number 3 under public hearings. Would staff please introduce this item?
Thank you, Chair Smith. This is a modification to the Great Park Neighborhood Sign Program for a freeway monument sign with administrative relief in an integrated electronic message center and removal of specific icon signs from the sign program. Located within Planning Area 51, and Sherman Jones, Senior Planner, will provide the staff report on this item.
Okay, I will open the public hearing and we'll receive the staff report.
Good evening, Chair Smith. The applicant is requesting a modification to the Great Park Neighborhood Sign Program to introduce a new sign type J for the installation of a freeway monument sign. The freeway monument sign would also include an electronic message center board, or EMC. Administrative relief from the required sign standard is also being requested in order to accommodate the size of the sign. The applicant is also proposing to remove previously approved icon signs that will no longer be used within Great Park neighborhoods. The sign program was originally approved in July 2008 and last modified by the Planning Commission in January 2017. The sign program includes signs ranging from large village directional signs to signs for private parks, all of which are intended to inform, direct, and identify Great Park neighborhoods. The existing signs generally express a similar theme, style, and color scheme, including the familiar bicycle symbol. Although the sign program is currently limited to the four development districts in which Five Point is the master developer, the proposed freeway sign is intended to serve most of Plan Area 51. The proposed sign will be located in Development District 2 on the north side of Interstate 5 near Bake Parkway. Plan Area 51 contains the former 4,700-acre Marine Corps Air Station El Toro, which now includes, but is not limited to, the 1,300-acre Orange County Great Park and Great Park neighborhoods entitled to up to 10,556 units and up to 4.9 million square feet of non-residential intensity. The sign will serve all entities, tenants, organizations, businesses, activities, and or events within Plan Area 51, excluding the county property. The proposed sign type J includes a two-sided 54-foot high by 100-foot wide sign structure with three cutouts. The upper portion of the sign panel proposes to identify the Orange County Great Park, and the lower portion of the panel proposes to identify Five Point. Mounted to this structure is an electronic message center that cantilevers 8 feet towards the freeway, 23 feet above the ground. The electronic message center wraps three sides of the structure and can display advertising as either one continuous message or as three different but simultaneous messages. Two of the screens would be 1,200 square feet, and one screen would be 336 square feet. The proposed sign is classified as a sign type 16, other monument signs not located in a residential village. However, in the sign program, it's called sign type J. Because the proposed sign does not conform to the criteria in the zoning ordinance, administrative relief is requested from standards for sign structure, sign panel, symbol height, and letter number and letter form height. The zoning ordinance contains standards for sign type 16, but does not contain quantitative requirements for an electronic message center. Instead, the zoning ordinance requires a qualitative assessment by the Planning Commission to determine if an electronic message center is appropriate for a given location. When considering administrative relief, staff tries to ensure that reasonable signage harmonizes with other signs in its surroundings. In this case, since Five Point is the master developer, it controls the design of buildings, signs, and the surrounding area within Great Park neighborhoods, ensuring compatibility is maintained with this sign. The sign is larger than conventional signs for two reasons: topography and to attract motorists traveling on Interstate 5. As such, the dimensions are larger than permitted by the zoning ordinance. Although the sign is wider than other freeway-oriented signs, it is comparable in size with other freeway-oriented signs approved by the city, such as the Irvine Auto Center and the Irvine Spectrum Center. This slide shows the five icon signs proposed for removal from the existing sign program. The proposed addition of the freeway sign and the removal of the unused icon signs is appropriate for the sign program. The sign will identify Great Park neighborhoods and the Orange County Great Park to motorists traveling at freeway speeds. The size and location of the sign has been specifically selected to promote the Orange County Great Park and to inform the public about enterprises within Great Park neighborhoods, such as the future City of Hope and the future retail near the ICE facility. The total sign face of 12,000 square feet is comparable to the collective square footage of other large signs that exist or have been approved, such as the 15,600 square foot total sign face at the Irvine Spectrum Center. Furthermore, removing the icon signs ensures the sign program provides a current information for the public, staff, and decision makers. Staff recommends the Planning Commission adopt Resolution 20-3772, approving a modification to the Great Park Neighborhood Sign Program. That concludes staff's presentation. Staff is available for any questions, and the applicant is also available. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I have one request to speak, Patrick Strader.
Thank you very much, commissioners. We're happy to be here this evening with this application. Support everything in the staff report and appreciate all the hard work by staff to get to this point. Don't really have any additional comments for you other than we received a copy of correspondence earlier this afternoon that had a couple questions. So I'd like to just kind of speak to those questions in advance. The letter was from Ms. Baran, and one of her questions was about the size of the fonts on the sign. So I have a couple responses. She asked if the applicant would consider changing the font sizes. The applicant does not support a change in font sizes, the main reason being that this design, as shown to you this evening, represents a couple things. First of all, Five Point, Heritage Fields, El Toro, et cetera, the entity that's bringing the sign forward, hired sign and graphic design professionals who opined about the various features on it based upon their technical knowledge, experience, and expertise. So everything that is on the sign didn't just happen to end up there by accident. It was placed there by professionals in the industry that were consulted for this purpose. So one of the questions from Ms. Baran was about the difference between the Five Point font and the Orange County Gray Park font. Two comments. Number one, the opinion of the design professionals that were consulted opined that there needs to be a difference between the two font sizes in order to let viewers know that these are not the same thing. They are different things. The top, obviously, is a sign to people that as you're driving up the El Toro Y, the interchange there, you are approaching the Orange County Great Park, which, as we all know, is a public park. The sign font at the bottom designates Five Point as the developer of the master plan, including the residential master plan and the commercial. So if they were the exact same font size, it would draw a little bit of a confusion from people as to is Five Point and the Orange County Great Park the same thing? There are a lot of reasons why they should be differentiated. The other comment on this is if you look at the overall design of the sign itself, it would not support larger font in the top section. So if the if people were to request that the top Orange County Great Park font be increased to the size of the bottom font, the entire sign would need to grow, which, again, as pictured right here, doesn't necessarily look like a big deal, but with the topography of the site, et cetera, the applicant is not really interested in redesigning the entire sign based upon the size of the fonts. This is the application in front of you. This is the one that design professionals have put together, and in the context of the overall site, this is the one that we feel is the most appropriate size. One other comment on this, there was a request from the mayor at one point to take a look at the font size of the Orange County Great Park and to change it. And it was changed as a result of that request. And so the size that you see today is actually the culmination of interaction with the council and the Great Park board members. And that's how we arrived at the one that we finally submitted with your staff. A second question was about the purpose of the EMC, which is the video screen. The purpose really is to advertise things going on at the Orange County Great Park. So the description that Emil Haddad, the CEO of Five Point, has always given is, it would say, for instance, curling championship at the Great Park Ice Facility this Saturday. Soccer, you know, championship for the Orange County Soccer Club at the Great Park Stadium this Sunday. Sam Hunt concert at the Amphitheater next Tuesday. It would advertise things and activities and events at the Great Park that the public would want to attend. In addition, it would also advertise things happening within the Five Point Great Park Master Plan, including, for instance, City of Hope grand opening, or City of Hope announces, you know, back months ago announces moving to Irvine soon. So it's a way to let people know, especially while they're sitting in 26 lanes of traffic, what is coming up at the Great Park and at, in within Planning Area 51. So that is the purpose of the EMC. Ms. Brand asks about joint use. This is not a joint use sign. This is a private sign for the private developer, but there is a condition in place, 6.22, I believe it is, which gives the city the right to use the sign for its advertising purposes. That condition was taken from the Spectrum sign. It is the same condition that the Spectrum has, and the applicant supports the 8 weeks a year as the requirement in the conditions. However, by choice, the applicant will absolutely do more city and more public advertising on this sign because of everything I just described to you. The intention is to really let the public know what's going on at the Great Park, which in and of itself is a public amenity. Therefore, there's no real reason to have a condition on something that is unique to this particular sign. The Spectrum sign needed that condition because the Spectrum is a retail center, and so the ability for the city to advertise on a retail center is different than the desire of a sign that is touting the things going on at the public amenity, which will, by definition, much exceed the 8 weeks that are contained in the condition. Number three, wayfinding purposes. She wonders about whether this sign is consistent with other signs in the city, given the five-point name. It is, insofar as the Irvine Auto Center is the name of that business. Granted, there are lots of tenants within the Irvine Auto Center, so when you drive up and you see the sign says Irvine Auto Center, that is the name of that business. The Spectrum is the name of the retail center, and it's up to the Irvine Company as the private developer of that sign whether they want to put the Irvine Company or the Spectrum. And they chose the Spectrum because that's the trade name of the retail center. This sign having 5 point on it designates both the master plan for the Great Park neighborhoods as well as the commercial development that's going to occur within Planning Area 51. So the 5 point X, which is the retail, the 5 point gateway, some of the other commercial, and this site that it is contained on is actually a commercial site. So this sign in the future will have additional commercial buildings surrounding it. Finally, Ms. Brand asked, the sign request is for District 2 in the GPN. Should the city and the applicant consider several for Planning Area 51? That's not the applicant's request at this time to add additional video signs around the planning area. This is the most appropriate boundary edge of the planning area because the freeway is right there. People driving by will very easily be able to see what's coming up at the Great Park itself as well as the surrounding area. And to put something like this on Irvine Boulevard is not contemplated at this time. So this is the application in front of you. We thank staff for all their work and their support of this, and we look forward to your approval this evening, and I can answer any questions you guys may have.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else at this point who would like to address the commission on this issue? I don't have any more requests, but I want to make sure that anyone who wishes to be heard could be heard at this time. And if not, we'll move to commission questions. Commissioners. Commissioner Noland.
I have a few comments and questions. My first comment was when I first took a look at this sign, I too was concerned with the sign, the letter height. I thought it would be more appropriate if the Orange County Great Park letters were switched with the size of 5 points. If the two entities could be maybe be equal, I would like to see the Orange County Great Park lettering be larger, which Mr. Strader did address. My second concern or my question is on condition 6.22, maybe staff can help me with this. We are allowing 8 weeks for city events, and I know Mr. Strader and staff has mentioned that because we have the Irvine Auto Center sign program, that's kind of what our gauge was when we included this. But if possible, I'd like to see more than 8 weeks. Could we possibly change it to increase it to maybe 12 weeks? Because I don't think that we're comparing apples to apples, because this is a public entity, where I don't see the Irvine Auto Center as a public entity. So maybe staff can address that.
Thank you, Commissioner Nolan. As Mr. Strader indicated, the condition was based on a previous Planning Commission approval at the Irvine Spectrum Center, but the Planning Commission, you know, in consultation with the applicant, there could be additional times, and I, you know, Mr. Strader might want to speak to the additional times beyond what's listed in the conditions of approval.
Sure. I spoke to that. We plan to do it, but don't agree to arbitrarily changing the condition. Eight weeks is the one that is consistent in the city, and we're totally comfortable with that one. It's my belief that in operation it will far exceed that, but there's nothing we can point to that says four additional weeks does anything one way or another. So we're very comfortable with the eight-week requirement in the condition, but in practical practice, again, as I explained, the things being put on this board are by definition going to be mainly public versus those other boards. So this is the board that should actually have less of that condition, not more, because in practice, the things that are publicized are going to be public events.
And so on that line, in terms of what you're going to advertise, so as part of this sign, because it's part of Five Points end of development, will you? I don't think that the provisions, I think you could advertise sale of homes as Five Points is developing. That's an option.
Yeah, that's an option. Yep. That's not the driver for the sign, obviously, but that is not disallowed by this sign condition.
Right, and I'm gonna ask this, and I think I might know the answer, but say 10 years from now, when Five Points has completed all the residential development, would there be an option to remove Five Points from that sign and it would just have Orange County Great Park?
No, Five Point will continue to operate all the commercial and will own the parcel that the sign is on and will have paid for the sign. Therefore, it is a Five Point constructed sign, so no, that's not something that Five Point would consider.
But all right,
the Orange County Great Park will remain there forever, so that's a good positive for the city.
Well, those are my questions for now. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Pearson.
Yeah, Patrick, remain up there for me.
Yes, sir.
You know, I have no problem with the font sizing. I know this is an advertisement for the master developer. Orange County Great Park is a very important element within our city. The one thing, you know, and I will reiterate this every time, is I don't see, this is a major gateway into the city of Irvine. I don't see Irvine on the sign at all. And that's a hot button with me. Even if you put it down in the lower right-hand corner beyond Five Points, I think that this sign should indicate that you're now entering the city of Irvine with the Orange County Great Park and Five Points development. So I have no issues with the sign size. I do have another question. You know, that's my comment. Where you have the blue boxes, the rectangles, what is the purpose of that?
Thank you for the question. Those are actually very poorly depicted that they're open space. So if you saw a, there you go, that helps. Thank
you. Okay.
Thank you very much. So the point is, as you're driving by, to be able to actually look through the sign and see, and you can see the topography there and see some of what's happening within the commercial, the residential, and the public Great Park.
Okay. So, and you're maintaining the orange is still an element of your marketing program. even though you're right. Removing the bicycles and a lot of other elements.
Yes. And okay. If I could speak to your first point
ahead.
Just briefly. When we spoke to the council, we originally gave them the option and said, would you rather have this, say, Irvine or Orange County Great Park? They unanimously selected Orange County Great Park over Irvine. And so, obviously, your next question would be, well, what about both? And I think it's just a question of how many things can go on one sign and not get too busy.
Patrick, but that sign is huge.
I don't disagree. Look, if you look at this rendering and you see where the car is and you see the Orange County Great Park, the EMC, and the Five Point, yes, there's space in the bottom right. And if it is the desire of the entire commission to add the city seal or add Irvine in an appropriate font and size, we could do that, and perhaps we should do it, you know, subject to community development director approval of the size, design, scope, et cetera. But as the design professionals did not suggest adding something else. If it's the will of the commission, we absolutely can take this back, ask them to show us what an appropriate rendering of an Irvine addition would be to it, and bring that to Pete or the staff for a decision whether it became too much or whether it would be an appropriate addition.
Understood. My next question is, has this been, you know, and this may be staff issue, Tim, has Caltrans looked at this to make sure that it's not interrupting any visual access identification to on-ramp, off-ramp type of situations?
I believe there was a Caltrans review, and I'll let Sherman address that question specifically.
Yes, Commissioner Pearson, there's a separate but parallel track that the applicant has indicated they are working with Caltrans for their review. I don't know if Mr. Strader has an update, but I believe that they were working with Caltrans.
I just wanted to double check that as of right now, no additional news from Caltrans, but the designer of the sign is working through the process with them, and we don't expect there to be any issues.
Is the installation contingent upon obtaining Caltrans, or can you move forward at another location if it's not objectionable?
I believe this site already had a sign, which was a wooden, it's still up there today.
Yeah.
So the permitting for the specific site has already been done. Obviously, the change from a wooden static signboard to this is a change that requires additional discussion. But to your question, it's doubtful that they would want it to move from where it is today, because that particular approval was already granted in the past, and it's
okay.
Been there for several years operating with no issues. The very first thing that went up was a generator-based sign truck type sign that originally announced like the opening of Pavilion Park way back in 2013 or 2014. And then after that, after going through a permitting process, the wooden board went up, and it's remained there ever since. So this would be sort of the final version of an evolution of signs at this particular location.
Okay, thank you. What is Five Points gonna put on the electronic sign? Are they gonna put their development locations to market that, their builder programs? What is happening initially?
So, again, to use the wooden sign as an example, it's fairly limited in how often it can be changed. So the things that have been put up on the wooden sign to date have been things like opening of Beacon Park, you know, homes, et cetera. What this will do by being more dynamic is really minimize that and allow the informational, you know, giving to the public of the public events that are happening. And it's difficult to answer your question specifically because, for example, Five Point X will have, 270,000 square feet plus or minus of retail. It's impossible to guess today what some of that will include and what could appear on the sign. For instance, you know, if it was a Nike Town, which it won't be because that's a huge store, but Nike Town grand opening next Saturday could be something that would appear on the sign. Or, you know, Portola High School homecoming this Friday night, go Bulldogs, things like that. But really, we wanted to be somewhat liberal in the construction of the rules, so long as it meets the city rules for the sign program, because in the future, this sign could adapt in lots of different ways based upon the activities that occur within this planning area. For instance, when City of Hope opens, that would be an announcement.
So initially, it may be advertising project opportunities that Five Points has got builders building tracts of homes, and then evolve into project-level marketing for the retail components and a public-private partnership in announcements of activities that are taking place within the overall Five Point Great Park development.
I think that was said perfectly, other than I would just say from day one, when the lights on the LED board go on, it would be the final condition you described, because it's not going to be a static board like it is today. So Five Point feels that showing people what's going on, and if you look at the rendering here, that's a rendering of the amphitheater. So the concept is showing people how great the Great Park is the best sales pitch you could ever make, better even than saying, like you see in every, you know, corner of Riverside, homes from the low 300s. That kind of blends in when you see it again and again and again. The concept here is to show the public spaces and the amenities and the activities that occur within the Great Park as a means of touting to everybody how great the Great Park really finally is. So I would say your last description would be from day one.
Okay, and you're precluded from outside advertising.
Right, there's no intention of doing that. Everything has to be related to the planning area, other than I believe that the section 6.22 or 2.5, the one that Commissioner Nolan mentioned, gives the city the right in certain circumstances to advertise things outside of PA 51. I think if the city advertised something at Bill Barber Park, it's the city that's the one that has the option, not the applicant.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Wong.
Thank you, Chair Smith. Mr. Strader, please don't go too far away. But
I'll stay.
But first, I'll start off with this. I appreciate the concern that's raised about having either City of Irvine or the city logo on the sign. I am weary of that because I don't believe the city should be in the business of endorsing a private business. So it's also a long time ago. I had either the good fortune or the misfortune of sit down with former PIO Craig Green, and he told me about the appropriate way of using the city logo, and that was a lot more complicated than I thought. So if I would prefer not to have a city logo on the sign. Now, if Five Point choose to put Irvine on there, I'll be fine with that. So back to this rendering, I just want to make sure even the cantilever, the overhang, is entirely within the property line. It's not overhang. Is that correct? Thank you. And also, I want to take a different track on the advertising and the billboard. I understand or the digital, whatever we want to call it. I understand you'll be both promoting, obviously, advertising for Five Point and businesses within the Great Park neighborhood. It will also promote city events. And so does the city have any financial obligation for the advertising for the or the promotion of city events or maintenance of the signage at all?
No, for sure on the first question. I just want to look back maintenance. I don't think so either. Yeah, no, none on the maintenance either.
Okay, and thank you for bearing with me. Ever since Super Bowl, my voice has been very, very bad.
Are you a 49ers fan?
No, I'm a Chiefs fan. Okay. So, no, I'm a Raiders fan, but Chiefs won, okay? One more thing. Looking at the location of the site, I understand this property is currently not developed. So in the when this site is ultimately developed, will the development work around the sign, or are we going to see an even bigger sign proposed at that point in time?
No, the commercial development slated for this site would work around it, and it would be largely perpendicular to it. This is designed to hit the freeway at the right angle, whereas buildings would be designed to maximize the freeway frontage. So it would be designed around this, and it would be they would work together for sure. That nobody wants to build a wall right up against this with those beautiful windows through it, so it'll be designed together.
And just for clarity purposes, I believe this lot or this area is zoned for commercial, is that correct? So there will be no residents anywhere near.
To be fair, correct, the intention is not to have residential there, but 8.1 TTOD zoning allows all of the uses within the zoning on any parcel within the entire planning area, subject to planning commission approval of a master plan or a conditional use permit. But notwithstanding that, there's no design to put residential here right up against the freeway.
Okay, thank you. That's all the question I have.
Thank you. Commissioner Nerschel.
Sure, I'll ask a few things real quick. I'll direct this to Mr. Strader as well. With the phasing of the picture, is that similar to the? I know we looked at that with the spectrum sign, and you know it would be one visual for 15 seconds or so, and then rotate through. Is there a similar type of phasing that applies here, or is it just more of a free-flowing kind of visualization?
The condition, I believe, says 8 seconds is the minimum amount of time per image. Is that Sherman's nodding? Yes. Yeah, eight seconds.
Is that consistent with spectrum? Is that shorter, longer?
That's consistent with the spectrum center.
And it kind of dovetails into where I stand on this sign, and that's each sign is unique, and I think a private party should certainly dictate, as long as it falls within the general regulations of what we can regulate a sign for, should be able to dictate font size, what is pictured on the sign. I would be amenable to adding Irvine if the Planning Commission felt that was a necessary addition. My thoughts, though, and my reluctance is that City Council already weighed in on it and didn't, and them being more of a legislative body, didn't feel it was necessary to, you know, in a way usurp what their position was. I'm not sure how comfortable I am with that. Moreover, I just want to make sure that the phasing of the visualization is consistent with what we already have at the spectrum. I think consistency is important. I'm less concerned that that we get into the nuts and bolts of that condition of 8 weeks or expanding it to 9 or 10 weeks for city application. I think that would be unfair to this particular sign, especially when I think this sign will show off a lot of the positive attributes of the Orange County Great Park, and they will serve as a cornerstone really for the planning area. So for me, you know, I certainly support the sign. I support consistency. I think where I come out on Irvine on that addition, the only reason why I'm okay with that is that we've done that in other signs that are signature Irvine developments, or, you know, things that Irvine is proud of or backs, you know. In a large way, I think, as the Orange County Great Park goes, so does Irvine. And I see a lot of value back and forth between Five Point and what they offer at the Orange County Great Park and what Irvine can offer also to the development. With that being said, if it is the commission's desire, I could add Irvine. However, for the two reasons I stated before, I probably lean towards keeping it as is for consistency, and because Irvine, the city council already weighed in on the item and chose did not require the addition of Irvine.
Oh, thank you, Commissioner Nerschel. I have some questions for staff on this. To begin, do we have examples of other freeway signage within the city that is focuses on a corporate entity rather than a development site or a location? In some respects, I get this is a 21st century version of the old Home Finding Center sign down at the corner of the 5 and Myford. For those of you who are as old as I am, and I was trying to think of other examples within the city where, for instance, it says the Irvine Company, as Mr. Strader pointed out, or, you know, something of that nature. This is kind of different. Can you think of any others that we've approved that are corporate in nature and not location specific?
I mean, other than just monument signs along more local streets or to identify the business that's located on that individual property, but something of this nature that's freeway oriented, that specifically identifies a corporate entity over the site, nothing really comes to mind.
If I may, Kia has what I would consider a freeway sign and a pretty large lake with a car out in the middle of it, and it's kind of this same orientation, obviously not a video screen, but it does say Kia. I think it may say Irvine on it as well, but that's the one that comes to my mind.
Yeah. I'm familiar with the Kia, and because it's that business is site specific and is only one business, this to me feels like we're breaking new ground in terms of not the sign itself, but what is going on the sign. The fact that we're identifying a corporate entity with an entire planning area, as opposed, for instance, as this it said, Orange County Great Park Heritage Fields. Okay, different thing. At least in my mind, this is seems like more of a corporate advertising piece, and that's why I asked the question. If you can, staff, please, either Bill or Sherman, relate to me the size of this sign in comparison to what's at the Spectrum and what's at the Auto Center. Do you have a graphic that might compare all three? Or just give me an idea, square footage-wise, what we're looking at between the two of them, or the three of them, rather?
Yes, so Chair Smith, with regards to this sign, the total square footage would be 12,000 square feet. For the two signs at the Irvine Spectrum Center, it would be 15,600. And for the Irvine Auto Center, it would be 2,064 square feet.
And the 15,600, that's split between, that's total of the two signs together?
Yes, that's correct.
So the so each individual sign would be like 7,800 then?
Correct.
Okay. There is a prohibition of outside advertising. I think we've made that pretty clear. Is it similar to the prohibitions or the discussions that we had on the Irvine Spectrum signs? I don't know if you recall those, and if I can, just to refresh your memory on the on some of the points. We discussed that. I don't know if any of the, were you, Dustin was on. I think, beat that one to death. I remember in particular Commissioner Kuo bringing up the example of, well, you could buy a Coke at, one of the restaurants there, so could you put a Coca-Cola sign? Could you have a Coca-Cola advertisement up there? The point being that we put very strict conditions on that sign. Are we saying that those conditions are the same for this sign, exactly the same as they were on the Spectrum sign? Or are on the Spectrum sign, I should say.
Chair Smith, the conditions are not exactly the same. As was indicated earlier in the evening, the two signs are a little bit different. So with regards to this sign, for instance, it's our understanding from the city attorney that any entity or business or organization within Planning Area 51, excluding the county property, would be allowed to advertise on this sign.
Chair Smith.
Yes.
Condition 6.23 kind of speaks to the allowances for the EMC screen. And essentially says the screen is limited to only entities, tenants, organizations, businesses, activities, and or events occurring within Planning Area 51, excluding the county 100 acres. So that kind of frames the limitations on that. I guess some of those words may be up for interpretation.
Is the language that you just read similar to the language that's in the approval for the Spectrum sign?
I don't think that it is, but Sherman, do you have that?
I do have that. If you'll give me a minute, I'll locate that.
Yeah, let me ask a couple of more questions. Mr. Strayer, did you want to, Patrick, you want to respond to that?
Yeah, I would say the main differentiator is that the geographic limitation in the Spectrum is the retail center, whereas the geographic limitation for this sign is intended to be the planning area. So yeah, they're very close, but not exact.
Yeah, I think the reason for the question and the intent of the question is when we talked about the sign at the Spectrum, we wanted to make it very clear that location could be advertised, but specific products could not, or sales could not, or those kinds of things. The questions that Commissioner Pearson asked before about, well, would there be, I hate to call them ads, but for sake of discussion, we'll call them ads for new developments in the in heritage fields. To me, that would be really appropriate. The thing that Mr. Strader had talked about, from the low 300,000s, we said, no price advertising at the Spectrum. Apartments available, studio apartments from $1,500 a month. Those are the kind of things that turn this in from an information board to a billboard. And I don't think it was certainly staff's intent. I don't think it was five-point intent either to do that. The thing that I'm trying to think ahead is, 5 years from now, five-point gets a tremendous buyout offer from some New Jersey company and sells a stock, and now we've got a new landholder there who may have a completely different interpretation of this. And I've said the same thing before to the Irvine Company on their retail centers when they come in and ask for something. I said, yeah, I know you're going to do a quality job, but what happens if Mr. Bren decides he wants to retire to the Virgin Islands and sells it to somebody else? They may not have the same kind of commitment to the community that this entity has. So we have to look ahead and say, okay, suppose Mr. Haddad is now a U.S. senator rather than the head of Five Point, and some other entity is running that area. We have to make sure that we're protected. I don't think we have that much worry with Five Point, but I think for somebody else we may. So that was the reason for the question.
So, Chair Smith, there was a modification to the Irvine Spectrum Center sign program back in November of 2018. And at that time, there was language added into the sign program that does allow for individual products and brands to be displayed, but it had to be displayed in conjunction with either the location within the Spectrum Center where that product could be obtained, or in conjunction...
we had to have the available at or something like that to indicate that global product or national product could be sold at a particular
exactly.
Location.
Exactly. So the sign could not say, you know, drink Pepsi, for example, but it would be Pepsi available at, you know, this hamburger stand or something along those lines.
I'm glad I asked the question because I don't recall us being amenable to that kind of condition, but do you, Commissioner Urschel, I'll just turn to you
confirm.
For a second because I know you were part of the discussion as well.
We did land on that. That was kind of the compromise position.
Okay. And I'm assuming we have the same conditions about static display versus video display on the, as far as showing... You know what I'm saying? I know it's a video board, but we're not showing replays from the Super Bowl on it or anything, correct?
Correct.
We're showing it's static on video, okay.
There will be static images, if you will, that are then changed at the pre-described intervals.
I'm going to ask the one thing be added, and I still have more questions to go on this, but... I noticed that there was a prohibition on tobacco products and alcohol. Since our city code was written, the state of California by initiative has approved the recreational use of marijuana and could do other drugs in the future. I think those prohibitions should be included in this. Marijuana or any other drugs that are classified now as illegal but may become legal, or any services related to those, I don't think we want that. And I'm sure Five Point doesn't either, but again, this is anticipating down the road. Let's talk for a minute about the 8 weeks. I'm assuming when we talk about 8 weeks, we're talking about a period of X amount of hours or X amount of minutes spread over a 52-week period of time. So are we actually saying that we're, if my math is right, about 17% of the display on the sign would be city-oriented events, is that correct?
That's correct, just to mirror what was approved with the Spectrum Center signs, but as Mr. Strader's indicated, in all likelihood, there'll be more city events shown on this particular sign.
Is the designation of 8 weeks rather than a percentage of usage common language in what we do, or is this a new language standard for this particular approval?
Well, as Sherman has indicated, it's the language was mirrored from the Irvine Spectrum Center.
So it is. So
we
haven't
used that in the past.
So it's an ongoing. Okay.
Yeah, so it has been common, at least here in Irvine. I think the reason is it's probably easier metric to measure rather than just a percent of time.
Okay, that's fine then. Is it possible to switch from the graphic that we have up on the presentation screen to an overhead shot of the land area and then go back to this? Okay. I know that it's way early because we have no applications for anything, but refresh my memory. What's the height of this sign?
It would be 54 feet.
54 feet. What I was trying to do is get an idea of scale relative to things that are going to surround it, because quite frankly, in an open space, it looks huge. It's stark, but obviously this is going to be developed and it's going to have a different appearance once that development takes place. And it brings to mind the issue of the office park sign that we had a few months ago that was on the 5 near the 133, and it happened to be near the 133 flyover. Mm-hmm. It was a huge sign, but it was dwarfed by the freeway overcrossing. So relative scale, it was fine. Based on the kind of uses that we typically see along the freeway, how would that, from a staff's perspective, how would that relate to the size of this sign? Would it be larger? Would it be smaller? How would that work?
Chair Smith, it is admittedly a little difficult to prognosticate into the future as to exactly what will be there, but that district, as Mr. Schrader had alluded to, is intended to be developed with professional commercial office type of land uses. Typically, those buildings in town and along some of our freeways are, I would say, at least two stories, many even up to three stories, and some possibly four or more. Because of commercial buildings generally having taller floor plates, basically the difference between the ground and the ceiling of somewhere maybe in the neighborhood of 15 to 18 feet. If you're in the neighborhood of a three or four story building, you're comparable in size to this. You're somewhere in that 45 to 60 foot range.
The reason again for asking is I know there's not going to be anything built right next to this because you want to be able to see the sign. It's a matter of in the vicinity, what is going to be the relative size of things that are going to be around it, so that it doesn't, you know, stick out like a sore thumb. One final question, is there any provision in our conditions or any provision in our ordinance for removal if the sign were to become inactive? Or the entity would be sold and somebody new would take it up and decide that they didn't want to display anything more on the sign?
Yes, Chair Smith, there is a provision that would allow, just like any structures that were to be a concern, those could also be removed by the city in code enforcement.
Okay, but nothing in the conditions that would put the onus on the owner, correct?
Correct. There's nothing in the conditions of approval in the resolution.
Okay. I appreciate the commission's indulgence while I ask those questions. Thank you. Let's move to a second round. Is there questions or comments? Let's see. Commissioner Pearson.
Yeah. I follow the line of thinking. I on this, with the prohibition of various things, I don't know if we can condition an approval based upon future prohibitions. That's a question to staff or to the city attorney, whether or not how to effectuate that type of a condition.
Currently, our sign types for the Great Park Neighborhood Sign Program include allow sign copy criteria, and it could be added to the proposed allowed sign copy criteria, which I believe Chairman Smith was quoting to earlier regarding the alcohol and other uses.
Okay. I mean, I agree with Chairman Smith on trying to be proactive so as it doesn't deter from the ability of Five Point to do their business, but to make sure that we do not condone specific things in the public portion of the Great Park that could be deleterious to the city. Objectionable material on the electronic sign. What if there was something that was posted up there that a driver or a city resident saw that they did not like? What is the recourse from a code enforcement standpoint to change that element that is on the 8-second visual?
Well, Vice Chair Pearson, let me just let you know what the sign copy prohibitions are for sign type J. So with the existing sign, what the sign program says is sign copy may not contain information related to off-site businesses or properties, pricing information, political messages or references or depiction of obscene acts, gestures, or word sale or use of alcohol or tobacco products, sale or use of illegal drugs or paraphernalia. So I suppose if the commission wanted to expand upon that language, modify that language, that would be up to the commission's discretion to do so.
Okay.
And then looking forward, if it was in violation of this, then it would become a code enforcement action where we could actually enforce based on the provisions that the commission has set forth in the program.
Okay, that's a very broad description. I don't know if we need to enhance it. That I will defer back to the chair on that. The last thing I had was the physical light impact. I asked staff this, if we have a program in which we monitor the amount of light output from these signs that does not create a problem visually to the drivers or to passersby.
There is a condition on light intensity. It's condition 6.19 of your attached resolution that speaks to illumination.
Okay, how do we ensure that is maintained?
That would be through our code enforcement.
Okay.
But with the initial installation and at final building inspection, we'll make sure that the light is at that standard, and then code enforcement would also be monitoring the light levels.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Commissioner Noland.
I just have a couple of comments. If my fellow commissioners would be in favor of adding Irvine, I would probably be in support of that. But I do agree with Commissioner Nerschel that I wouldn't want to go against any council decision. So my question is, this didn't go to the council as part of an item. So did one council member say, agree, okay, I don't want Irvine, it's okay if we don't have Irvine, or was it unanimous, if you can share that, Patrick?
Thank you. I almost jumped up to let Chair Nerschel know the answer to this question earlier, so I'm glad you asked. These were informal discussions where early renderings were shared with Great Park Board, City Council members in one-on-one communications to ask their opinion on Irvine versus Orange County Great Park. It was not a official action, so thank you for asking that question.
So if the Planning Commission would like to include or add Irvine, it wouldn't necessarily be that we're going against the City Council wishes?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. That's all. Thank you.
Commissioner Nerschel.
Yeah, thank you for that clarification. I was not really sure how this came to that body, if at all, or the nature of those discussions. So that is also something of interest to me. So, you know, I think one thing that may be a little bit understated here is Five Point has a significant interest in so let me back up. I think what Deputy Director Gerich read to us, you know, with that one condition, was pretty locked down and pretty expansive, and I think covered a lot of what our concerns were. In addition to that, you know, certainly Five Point has an interest in not putting a message that would reflect poorly on what they're doing there, and that gets me to my final comment in my support of the sign, in that although I definitely can appreciate what Chair Smith raised earlier, that this is a larger physical area when we talk about on-site information, on-site advertising. I do think the Orange County Great Park is such a fountain of events and recreational opportunities, commercial opportunities, that a central kind of non-traditional, non-conventional sign like this will go a long way in informing people of what we can get out of this, what we have and what we're so proud of in the Orange County Great Park. So I just wanted to end on that note, that I fully, even though it is a little bit distinct from the spectrum, I think there's enough efforts that have been made to make this similar to the spectrum that I don't think it will set dangerous precedent, and for which, you know, I think will actually serve a city benefit, and of course, what my fellow commissioners feel with regard to the Irvine, the addition of Irvine language, you know, I think I can get behind as well.
Thank you, Commissioner Nerschel. I just have one more question, and then I'd like to make a couple of comments, if I may. It's slipping my mind as to the hours of operation on this. Can you refresh my memory? Are we talking 24/7, or is this a 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. kind of thing?
It would be 24/7.
I'm sorry?
It would be 24 hours.
Okay.
24/7.
Yeah. Yep. I've quite honestly came into this really undecided, because I think this is breaking new ground and precedent in a lot of ways, particularly in the advertisement of a private entity, because as Mr. Strayer pointed out, it is a private sign. I think most of my questions have been answered. I still think it's awfully big, Patrick. I think that there's enough potential in the area around it when the development is done that the scale relative will not stand out as much as it does in the open space. I'm not crazy about it, but I do like the idea that it advertises the Orange County Great Park. So I'm going to make two recommendations before we close the public hearing, if I may. Number one, I do want to, I think, it relative to Commissioner Pearson's point about trying to do things in the future that may not be legal, I do want to add the prohibition of either whatever language is appropriate, marijuana, cannabis, whatever, so that and I'd like to see that for this particular project, but also in our code, and maybe we can bring that back at another time. Secondly, regarding the City of Irvine displayed on this sign, I've always liked that as well. But there's a concern that I have, and I think it's a perception concern, and that is, The city is supposed to be a non-biased arbiter of issues regarding development in the community. And I would feel the same way with any commercial entity coming here. To display the city seal or the name the City of Irvine as applied to the institution alongside a public institution, as much as a free market guy as I am, implies a partnership that may reflect on the perception of impartiality. I don't know any other way to put it. I wouldn't want people to get the impression that somehow we as impartial arbiters are actually partnering with any private entity. We actually work for the citizens. And so as much as I'd like to see City of Irvine on that sign, I feel a little uncomfortable with it. Now, if it had said Heritage Fields, I might have felt different. But as Mr. Strader said, they've designed the sign, they've got a message that they want to put out, and that message is the promotion of not only the Great Park, but of a private entity. And I'm concerned of the public's perception that somehow City of Irvine would be supporting that as well. I wouldn't mind seeing, however, someplace in that area, a sign like we have near Kia with that nice wall sign that says City of Irvine as a separate sign. Clearly, this is not the place nor time to be discussing that. But I'd be uncomfortable, I think, with the city or the city seal, as Commissioner Wong had brought up before, appearing on the same. So I'm supportive of Commissioner Wong's position on City of Irvine. Are there any other questions or comments anybody would like to make?
Just a quick
Commissioner
question.
Wong.
And this is really getting down to the minute. Regarding the 8 weeks, who tracks that? Whose responsibility it is?
There's a condition of approval where the applicant and the city would work together as part of that review, and that would be part of that annual review that the community development director would do with the applicant.
Okay, and my understanding is that has never been an issue with the Spectrum sign as well. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Commissioners, any other comments? If not, I'll close the public hearing and a motion will be in order. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Strader, did you wish? I'll open the public hearing again.
Be very brief. I just wanted to, since I'm detecting a little bit of a tie here, the applicant would like to discuss or offer that the ECM could be used to feature Irvine instead of putting it on the actual sign permanently. If it's the desire to make sure that it's clear that Irvine, people driving through are coming into Irvine, we can work with staff to make whatever slide, the city would like to have featured on the ECM, and that would potentially be something that meets the goals without meeting the or triggering the concerns of the chair and Commissioner Wong. So I just put that out there, but the applicant is amenable to whatever decision this commission makes in terms of that. So thank you for deliberating. It's been a very helpful discussion. Yeah.
In order to clarify, Commissioner Pearson, are you requesting?
Oh, I was just going to make one comment, but.
Well, go ahead. Go ahead and make your comment, and then I'll make a proposal here.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I appreciate the concern with the City of Irvine on the sign. I appreciate Mr. Strader offering to try to put an 8-second something on the sign. In all actuality, we have, as a city, partnered with Five Point. We have been involved in the Great Park since it was initially conceived. And I don't know, I appreciate the public-private separation and the illusion that shouldn't be there. But, you know, I honestly believe that everybody that drives down and sees the Great Park knows that the city of Irvine has been backing it, has been promoting it, has designed it, and Five Point came in, took it over, and essentially became the city's operating partner to get it done. So, you know, I see the potential conflict, but it is the gateway into the city of Irvine. And that, I agree, if we could get another sign, as you suggested, that would satisfy me. I just like the transition from Lake Forest to Irvine to be really well known. And also have the idea that the Orange County Great Park is part of Irvine. So that's my only comment. Thank you.
No, that's a good point. What I thought that we might do before we make a motion on the main resolution is either to take a straw poll, or the chair will entertain a motion as to whether or not the commission wants the city of Irvine to appear on the sign. And then once that's decided, then we can move to the main resolution, and that'll, I think, shorten the process a bit.
Very fast.
So is there, Mr. City Attorney, is there any problem with us doing a straw poll, or do we need some kind of a formal motion to do that at this point?
I think an informal poll is
okay.
Fine.
So if you want to, if they're comfortable weighing in from left to right here, if we want City of Irvine on the sign, yes or no, and then we could just, we'll either make it part of the motion or it won't be one of the two.
You've heard me. I believe I want, whether it's Irvine or City of Irvine, and I appreciate not having the seal, but identifying our location. So yes, I'd like it.
Commissioner Pearson is a yes. Commissioner Wong?
Thank you, Chair Smith. I, like Commissioner Pearson, I would not like the city seal be used. I, however, will be okay with either Irvine or Irvine, California.
What is okay, though? Do you support it or not?
I will support it.
Commissioner Noland?
I would support Irvine or City of Irvine. I think maybe Irvine. Just so it's a location, it's a big sign, you're in Irvine and you're at the Great Park. So I would welcome City of Irvine, but my preference would be just maybe Irvine. Thank you.
Commissioner, I will not support the inclusion of Irvine. I don't feel it's a necessary directive that we should require of our applicants. I don't think it really relates to our regulatory scope of what we should be reviewing here and that we should require of an applicant.
And I feel the same way. I don't think Irvine should appear on there. That's just my opinion. But since we have three, then as we call for a motion, whoever makes the motion, make it clear whether you want City of Irvine or Irvine to whatever wording to appear on the sign. So at this particular point, I think a motion would be in order. Commissioner Pearson?
Yes, thank you, Chairman Smith. I would like to make a motion to approve Planning Commission Resolution 20-3772, a resolution approving the modification of the Great Park Neighborhood Sign Program for a freeway monument sign, which would include some identification of the City of Irvine as approved by applicant and the Director of Community Development, and with the administrative relief and an integrated electronic message center, removal of the specified icon signs from the sign program, planning area 51, filed by Five Point Communities Management on behalf of Heritage Fields, El Toro, LLC.
Motion by Commissioner Pearson. If I may clarify before asking for a second, Commissioner Pearson, would you be amenable to having my suggestion of the inclusion of the marijuana prohibition as part of the language?
Yes, I would, including the prohibition expansion language.
There is a motion then on the floor. Is there a second?
If just for public comment.
Sure. Yeah, and then I'll go. Okay, it's seconded by Commissioner Nolan. Now a discussion on the motion, Commissioner Nerschel.
Yeah, thanks. I would hope that the city attorney could really quickly read that condition that discusses what language is prohibited from being included in the content of what would be displayed on the sign. I think it was copy something, or I forget what it was titled.
Under the proposed new sign type J, it's under the allowed sign copy, and it is in the packet, and currently it reads, name and symbol of tenants in the project name and symbol of products and services available in the projects, special events in the project, sign copy allowed on attraction, board signed by zoning code, and events, the city events. Sign copy may not contain information related to off-site businesses or properties, pricing information, political messages, or reference or depiction of obscene acts, gestures, or words, sale or use of alcohol or tobacco products, sale or use of illegal drugs or paraphernalia.
So, I guess I'm not seeing where your additional language does anything additional to what was just read.
Well, marijuana is no longer an illegal drug. And so we've prohibited alcohol and tobacco, but marijuana being a legal subject is a substance is not prohibited under the under this language. If it had been, if the initiative hadn't passed,
but is this meant to relate to federal law or state law to illegal drugs? Is that meant to be interpreted as under federal law or under state law, or state or local?
Chartered by this. So, Commissioner Nerschel, if I can
Maybe it's not even worth it, to be honest. I would have thought, I would have presumed that it was meant to be interpreted under federal law.
The language that Attorney Duesman read was the proposal from the applicant to the city.
Right.
Okay, I don't know that we read into that was intended to necessarily further or advance anything under federal or state law necessarily. It was just what they were offering to the city in terms of the messaging that would occur on the EMC for our consideration.
I see our city attorney approaching the dais. Please go ahead.
Can you hear me all right? Yeah, okay. Commissioner Nerschel, to answer your question, the city of Irvine has historically taken the view that when we say an illegal drug, we refer to prohibited under federal or state law. So if it's prohibited either way, and that's been our historic approach to regulating cannabis businesses in California. It has been changed recently by the initiative, but I wanted to make that clear because I didn't want us to get in a box where we were interpreting it one way mm-hmm. with regard to certain types of land use regulations, but in the sign ordinances, thinking of it another way. And as long as I'm here, if you'll allow me a suggestion, what tobacco and alcohol have in common is that they are prohibited substances for minors. And that's true under California law today. And Commissioner Smith, or Chair Smith, one of the things that you mentioned during the course of the conversation was, well, how can we be forward-looking about this without knowing the future? And one idea would be for your language to prohibit, it already prohibits illegal drugs, to then prohibit also any substance that is, or you could say substance or activity if you want, that is illegal for people under 21. And that would cover alcohol and tobacco and marijuana.
That's a great suggestion. Would the maker of the motion be amenable to that?
I would accept clarifying the language by what the city attorney has stated.
I like it too. Thank you very much. Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second now? Oh, and Commissioner Nolan did second. So, and is there further discussion on the motion? I believe, Mr. Secretary, I did close the public hearing already, correct? If not, I will close the public hearing then and ask for a vote.
Motion passes 5-0.
That concludes our action items tonight. Staff reports this evening?
No staff reports, sir.
Planning Commission reports. Commissioner Wong.
Chairman Smith, just one quick item. Last December, I believe I raised the issue of having e-comments allowed in the Planning Commission meeting. I received a report from Deputy Director Garrick today that that has been approved by the city attorney, and we will be implementing that at a convenient time for us.
Could you repeat that again real quick, just to make sure I understand?
Sure. So back in December, I requested that the Planning Commission also allow e-comments from
E-comments, okay, very good.
People who conceivably are not here, and it's easier for people to submit comments. That has been approved, so we look forward to that at future date.
Good.
I don't know the detail, Deputy.
I think the way the current protocol works is there's a comment period that closes like an hour or two before the actual public hearings, and then we can make those available to the commission prior to the actual hearings starting so that you'll have those available to you.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. Any other announcements? Commissioner Wong, I am going to turn to you and put you on the spot for a second because I know that you've had a posting about the trail, IBC trails,
yeah,
and bicycle paths, and I know a member of the audience mentioned that as well, and I'd like to get that on the record also.
Sure. So the City of Irvine is hosting an open forum on the 11th, if I'm not mistaken, which is, no, it's, wait, yeah, it's Tuesday the, no, it can be.
It's actually Wednesday the 12th.
Yeah, sorry. Got my date mixed up. That's the city council meeting, if I'm not mistaken. So Wednesday the 12th here at the Civic Center in the conference and training room, I think, whatever the official name is, from, I believe, 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. So please share the notice and let residents, especially in the IBC, know the city is looking into that. Thank you.
Further reports? If not, we'll adjourn to the next regularly scheduled meeting of February 20th at 5:30 p.m.